Several years ago, a television show came on the scene that my wife just fell in love with, and thankfully, it's not on the Hallmark Channel. It's something called Fixer Upper. Anybody ever, Tracy got so involved into this Fixer Upper. I like it when she's in children's church because I have more freedom to speak freely. But she got so into this fixer-upper, she had to go to Waco to check it all out. I was like, baby, go check it all out with your eyes and not my credit card. Go and just. But what they do, they go in and they find these jalopy of houses and they fix them up, turn them into these masterpieces that you just ooh and ah. And you think, that ain't that bad. I could do that. When you probably couldn't, but they make you think that you could. When we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, that's what he's talking about. Not fixing up houses that you live in, brick and mortar, but fixing up houses of flesh that you literally do live in. That's what he's talking about today. Now understand the background and the context. Paul is passing through Corinth. If there ever was a city that was beyond hope, it was Corinth. Oh, nobody can do anything in Corinth. But God showed up. And God started working and people started getting saved. And Paul just stayed there for 18 months. And God put a church where nobody can do anything there. Listen. There is nobody past God, and there's no community past God. God can do whatever he wants, wherever he wants. He can change any heart, and he can put a church in the worst and the most vile areas. Amen? So Paul stays there 18 months. He leaves. He hears this church is straying back into their old ways. So he writes them a letter and basically says, you need to shape up. And they listen to him. That's 1 Corinthians. He hears back that they are making some of these changes. So he writes them a second letter commending them that they obeyed the first letter. And he said, here's a few more changes that you need to do. That is 2 Corinthians that we're going to look at today. Three truths to unleash the promises of God in your life. And know this. God wants to work in your life, in your home, in your marriages. And we want to give you some truths today that will unleash them, open them up to you so that you can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could think, imagine. Sermon I'm entitled, Perfecting Holiness. First truth is this. Claim the promises. Claim the promises. You're in 2 Corinthians 7. Look at verse 1. Having therefore these promises. So therefore Paul is building his case. He is looking back to chapter 6 and everything that he has just said. So he's building his case. He's building his argument in his will. He says, so in light of what he just said. What do you say? What did he just say? Look up at verse 16. Paul talks about the promises for believers. Verse 16. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell with them, walk with them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So he's talking about separation. He's saying, if you want to walk with me, you have to separate yourself from the world, from the things of the devil, from wickedness. But if you will live a separated life, I will dwell with you. I will commune with you. No standard of living that's higher than you hanging out with God. You remember Adam and Eve? They walked with God every day in the cool of the day. There is no hobnobbing that you can do that's greater than you hobnobbing slang with God Almighty. Look at verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, the world, the unsaved, the carnal, be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now, in some places in our world, you have to have the right last name. You have to have the right degree. You have to have the right title. You have to have the right bank account size to be accepted, to be received. Look what God says. If you will live a separated life, don't live wicked, don't live carnal, don't live like the lost people do, I'll receive you. I'll pull you close to me. Look at verse 18. I will be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty, the all-powerful one. So when you're saved, you are adopted into God's family. A lot of organizations in our world, and you have peers in those organizations. Not with a family. With a family, you have a father. And God's saying, hey, part of being in my family is I'm going to be your father. Fathers look after you. Fathers take care of you. Fathers, they take off their belt and they wear you out if you need a whooping. He's saying, hey, I'm not just going to be your peer. I'm not just going to be your buddy. I'm going to be your daddy, and I'm going to take care of you. No. Look back at chapter 7, verse 1. Having, therefore, these promises. What's he saying? Hang on to them. Claim them. God, I'm living a separated life. Now, my job, it's crazy. I need your help. I need you with me. God, I need you to accept me because none of my peers are accepting me right now. Hey, right now, I need a heavenly Father who is going to look out after me and keep me safe and provide every claim the promises. They are for you, number one. Number two, cleanse the perversion. Look on the verse. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, he's talking to believers. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Let us cleanse what? Ourselves. What that means is Neil Jackson is to cleanse Neil Jackson. And Bernard Purvis is to cleanse Bernard Purvis. It's not his job to be a spiritual investigator and to go and be snooping around and say, hey, that Gurney Brady, he needs to cleanse himself. He needs to clean up. He needs to, who is this? Cleanse you. Or to get it closer to homes, cleanse youins. Cleanse you and yourself. You and yours. It's your house. It's your family. It's your marriage. You are to take care of you. Well, I'm just going to let... No. It doesn't say let God take care of it. Or let the government take care of it. It says you cleanse yourselves. See how we're supposed to do it. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. So every day you go and you, God, I did this. Will you forgive me? Now look what he says. He will forgive us of our sins. That means he's not going to hold you guilty for it. He's not going to hold you. He's going to release you from it. And he's going to cleanse you as if you've never done it. You're going to be totally pure. So what are you supposed to do? How do I cleanse myself? Confess your sins. Secondly, stay out of the dirt. Stay out of the mud. Don't allow it. Don't tolerate it. Don't harbor it. Don't give place. Don't make provision for junk in your life. Matthew 5 says this. If your eye offend you, what does it say? Pluck it out. Now, it's not saying you get an ice pick. Say, that eye, I can't see it like I used to. So, come on, ice pick. I'm just going to pluck it out. Matthew 5 says, if your hand offend you, what does it say? Now, he's not talking about dismemberment there. And he's not talking literally about plucking your eye out. So don't go get any ice pick on your way home from church today. He's saying anything that hurts your relationship with God, get it out. Now look back at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Let us, all of us, the body, cleanse ourselves. Take care of Neil Jackson. Gurney Brady's to take care of Gurney Brady. You are to cleanse. You are to go in front of that mirror that doesn't lie. God, the mirror is the Bible. What do I need to get out of my life? What are you not pleased with in my life? Remember John 11, Lazarus? Lazarus is dead. Jesus comes to the edge of the tomb. He says, roll away the stone. They do. And he says this, Lazarus, come forth. He speaks to a dead man and tells him to do what he can't do, but in the power of the Spirit, he does. He comes back. He who was dead yet lives. He comes back to life. Lazarus, who was dead, is alive. But he's bound up. He's got all those mummy clothes on and he's wrapped up. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. All of us, when we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we were made alive. We were spiritually dead, and Christ made us alive. And he says, cleanse yourself. So if God called you in for a one-on-one meeting this afternoon, just you and him, what's the one or two things he's going to tell you? You know that don't need to be in your life. Cleanse yourselves. You don't need me to get in your business. You don't need me showing up at your house at 8 o'clock tonight saying, no. You, cleanse you. God, what do you not want in my life? And look what he says. Cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh. Now, when I read that word filthiness, I just can't help but get over thinking of my mama. Because when we would come in having played outside basketball in the woods all day, she would say, you boys are filthy. Go clean yourself up before you eat. That's what he's saying. Filthiness. We in the world like to minimize our sin. We like to justify our sin. We like to condone our sin. What we call, well, just had a little accident. God says it's an abomination. What we say, well, that's just a disease. God calls it depravity. What we say, well, he just has a weakness. God says, no, that is wickedness. He says, cleanse yourself. Noah says, all filthiness. Not just most, not just some, anything in your life that God's not pleased with, get it out. Now look what it says. Filthiness of the flesh. That's your outward actions. You say, what's he talking about? Job said, Job 31 verse 1, your eyes. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why should I think upon a maid or think upon those things that I shouldn't have? So there are some things you should not look at. Men or ladies. Period. On your phone, there are things you shouldn't look at. On the television, on the computer, there are things you should not look at. How about your ears? There are things that are junk that you don't need to put into your ears. You say, well, they're my friend. I'm not letting filth get into my ears. If it comes through my radio, I'm turning it off. Or if it comes through my cell phone and somebody's talking junk, sorry, I gotta go. These ears I've dedicated to the Lord. And when He says, cleanse yourself from all filthiness, means your ears too. How about this one? Your lips. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. None. Zilcho. Nothing. Christian folk don't need to be cussing. I don't care for any reason. You don't need to be cussing. No corrupt communication, even if it's bad. Christians, you need to guard your eyes, your ears, your lips. You don't need to be drinking. Think about it. You got that Bud Light in your hands. I mean, I've showed up at people's houses and they had the Bud Light and they're trying to hide it from the preacher. I'm like, dude, don't worry about me. I've had people swallow cigarettes when I show up. And I show up and they swallow it. I'm like, that hurt, didn't it? And I'm thankful for the reverence. But where's God? Imagine this morning. Y'all got here early for Sunday school like you would do every Sunday. So 9:45, y'all are in here for prayer. The men meet here. The ladies are over there. Y'all are in here. All these big old birdie guys walk in here to pray. 9:45. And there's like heaps of trash right here in this center aisle. I mean, there's leftover apple peel, apple cores and banana peels and wrappers and dirty diapers and just bags of trash. Y'all are going to walk in here and say, what's up with Randolph County's sanitation department? Who is desecrating our house of worship? And some of you would get fired up, angry, mad. But if you look back at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are the house of God. So you should get mad over what you were watching last night. I'm not watching those filthy shows on television. Why? Because I want God to dwell with me. Because I need not just peers, I need a father who's going to look after me. Correct me whether I'm wrong. I need a father. Hey, I'm claiming the promises, but I'm cleansing myself. Outward actions, filthiness of the flesh. And then he says, filthiness of the spirit. See, what's that talking about? Our attitudes. You know, some Christian folk, they can have some bad attitudes. In Jesus' name. Christian folk can look down their nose at people because they're just different. Dress different, talk different, and they're kind of Pharisaical. And I look, here's how Jesus dealt with sin. Kind of interesting. Usually, when he was dealing with external sins, sins of the flesh, Jesus was very tender and compassionate when dealing with the external sins. Remember the woman taken in adultery? Jesus treated her very kindly. Remember the woman at the well who had five husbands and the guy she was living with was not her husband? Dealt with her very kindly. But sins of the Spirit. Jesus, the Pharisees, He was strong. He was confrontational. He cut them to pieces. He said, "Your whited sepulcher gravestones, you clean up the outside of the cup. You don't clean up the inside of the cup." So look back at the verse. Cleanse you. What am I supposed to cleanse myself of? All of the external stuff, the outside stuff, and the inside stuff. I want to do a survey this morning. How many people, especially in the balcony, love Dustin? Anybody here love Dustin? Come on. Anybody love Dustin? There's one. Anybody else? Anybody love Dustin? See, here's my problem with Dustin. Let's say that I go home and I get the old English furniture polish, and Tracy's kind of strict on this. She wants you to dust with a specific rag. And my thought was, baby, I'm dusting. What does it matter if it's, but she is, so I'm dusting. But if I go home and I dust, and I do the living room and the end tables and coffee table, and I do all of this stuff, go to the bedroom and do the dresser and the nightstand, and I'm patting myself on the back. I'm such a good husband. Here's my problem. You know what happens on Thursday? Somebody's vacuumed, and I got to go dust again because I can write my name on the furniture. And I'm like, wait a minute, time out. I just did that on Sunday. Why do I have to do it on Thursday? And you say, because things get dirty. Cleanse yourself. All filthiness. Can't skip any furniture. Can't skip any body parts. All filthiness, flesh and spirit. How often should I do it? Every day. Probably multiple times a day. Because you don't want long sin tabs with God. Claim the promise. Cleanse the perversion. Let me give you one more. Consecrate the protocol. Consecrate the protocol. You say, what's he talking about? Look at the last part of the verse. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. And then it says, perfecting holiness. You know what that word perfecting means. It means to finish. It means to develop. It means to improve. It means to get better. Holiness, it means sacred. It means set apart. That which is dedicated to God. So what Paul is saying, until Jesus comes back, you be consumed with getting better, with perfecting, with developing Christ likeness in your life. Holiness. We are to try to master holiness in our lives. Now you old boys, you get it. Come summertime, you're going to start getting ready for hunting season. And you're going to start perfecting your strategy to kill Bambi. You're going to go and you're going to buy the stuff. You're going to have the magazines. You're going to be reading up. You're going to get the scents to put all over. You're going to get the bait to trick old Bambi so that you can be the greatest, the best, the most wonderful hunter in Chatham County. Perfecting, it doesn't say hunting. Tracy and I don't know what got into the kid, but Hayden now just disappears. He goes downstairs and he disappears. And when we go downstairs to check on him, we go, "What are you doing, kid?" He said, "I'm working on my fishing line." And the kid just is consumed with catching the largest largemouth bass in this whole state. And so he goes away for hours at the time, and we're checking on him. Does he have a pulse? Where is this kid? Because he is perfecting. I don't have the patience to fish. Perfecting fishing. Nothing wrong with that. It says perfect holiness. How are you doing on that? Becoming more like Christ. Previous church I was at, I was playing a little bit of golf, and they decided they were going to invest in their pastor's golf game. So they literally went out and bought me an incredibly expensive, nice set of clubs, this fancy, pretty golf bag, stands up on its own. They said, hey, for our pastor, we want to give him the best. We're going to send him to the tailor-made golf school. And I'm like, I'm pretty athletic. I don't need a school. They said, no, it'll be good for you. So I go to the tailor-made golf school. Let's just say I did not perfect golf, and I did not join the tour, and I haven't played golf in 4 years. You get perfecting your hobbies. It doesn't say perfect your hobbies. Perfecting holiness. Last four words and I'm done. Because this is the whole key. If you don't do the last four words, it's all down the drain. See the last four words? In the fear of the Lord. In the fear of God. Five words. To stand amazed at God every day. To stand in reverence of God every day. See, when you lose your awe of God, you start to tolerate sin. When God is in His rightful place and you realize, I'm going to meet God. He's like, I want to please Him. I love Him. He is my heavenly Father. And I have reverence and awe and respect for God. Therefore, I'm going to cleanse myself from all, A-L-L, filthiness of the flesh and spirit. I'm going to perfect, not my hobbies. I'm going to perfect holiness in my life, in my marriage, in my career. Why? Because I have respect and reverence and awe of God. You show me a Christian, someone who claims to know the Lord, and they are living carnal, they're living worldly, they're doing everything that the Bible says they should not do. I'm saying the problem is not holiness. The problem is they have no respect for God. And they do not realize that they are going to die and they are going to stand before God and give an account of their actions. Look at the verse one more time and I'm going to be done. Perfecting holiness. The whole verse. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Pharisees were great at cleaning themselves up. Were they holy? No, they were not holy. Because they didn't do it in the fear of God. So you can say, okay, I got two things that I'm going to get out of my life today. It all starts with reverence and respect and awe of God. And you come and say, okay, God, You are boss, I'm not. I submit to You, I submit to Your word. What are You not pleased with? Because, we're going to get rid of the low stuff on the tree, we're not going to get rid of the big stuff. One of my favorites, maybe my favorite Christmas present this year. Not the biggest, but to me, and I love chocolate, but it's not chocolate. Somebody made me something wonderful. Now, usually when somebody made me something, I'm like, oh no. Tell me it's not like my aunt used to do years ago and made me a sweater that I'm going to hate. This is really cool. And when I take it out of this box, this bag, you're going to say it's really cool. Are you ready? Somebody made this for me, And you know I'm a Georgia Bulldog fan. It's a Georgia Bulldog made out of wood. And you look, it's got the G on there. You can see Ugga's tongue, you see that? Got a little tail back here. You know what it was? I love it. Got it. You come into my office, you're going to see Georgia, and you're going to, if Tracy's around, you're going to hear barking. Just an old block of wood. But somebody saw that block of wood and said, no, that block of wood can turn into something really beautiful for all the Wolfpack fans in the room. Something really gorgeous. Got to get rid of all of the excess waste. Got to get rid of all of the carnage. But beneath that block of wood is something beautiful. Something that will inspire. Something that will communicate. But we got to work on it. We got to put some labor into it. But it's going to turn out. That's you. God's whole plan for saving you, redeeming you from sin, was to make you into a masterpiece. Not a Georgia Bulldog, but a masterpiece. A masterpiece that looks like Him. So you say every day, God, what do you want gone from my life? Cleanse me. I'm cleansing myself of all filthiness. I'm not excusing it. I'm not justifying it. I'm not saying, well, I've been doing this for 30 years. God just have, no. God, you, I have respect for you. What do you want gone in my life? Here's the invitation. One-on-one with God. What's the one or two things He's going to tell you? Get out of it. Stop doing it. Don't tolerate it. Forsake it. What does He want gone in your life today? And I encourage you, say yes to the Lord. Worst flight I've ever been on, and I'm done. Got invited to go, several pastors, to Texas for this retreat with this computer multi-billionaire, and he likes to bring pastors out there. This was several years ago, just to talk philosophy and strategy for reaching their communities for Christ. Well, there were five of us, and we were flying out there in a little six-seater plane. I don't love flights or heights, but as long as I got a seatbelt on, I can deal with flying. I mean, that makes no sense, but I can just suck it up, buttercup, and I can do with it. So we meet over here in Liberty, and we're flying to Texas. There's four of us, and we're cruising pretty good. We got to go to Memphis, and we pick up somebody else. And now there's five of us, and they say that plane would hold six, but it was struggling a little bit with five. And so we pick them up, and it was just cruising, not a cloud in the sky. And it was all good. We get out there, and we're in Texas, and everything's bigger and better and wonderful in Texas. We're having a wonderful time. And then it comes a few days later, it's time to come home. Well, Mr. George, he said, guys, we need to load up and we need to get going because there's storms coming. And I'm like, I'm ready to go, sir. I don't like storms and I don't like puddle jumpers. I'm ready to go. But these old boys that I was going with, they wanted more pancakes. And they wanted more. They didn't need more pancakes and more bacon, but they wanted. So we just kept playing and taking their time. And so we were late. And Mr. George wasn't happy. He's like, boys, this storm's going to overtake us. And it's like, are we safe to fly? We're going to be all right. So we get up there in this puddle jumper, and we're flying to drop off the one dude in Memphis. And for whatever reason, I'm up front. I don't know if because he wanted somebody to pray or somebody to cry, but Mr. George is flying and I'm in the other seat, and these three boys are three guys, big old boys, are in the back seat. I mean, it's rough. Roughest flight I've ever been on. we're going through storms and we're going through rain and we're going through lightning. We're going through air pockets. And there was one time when we just fell. And I'm like, Sarah, I'm coming to see you. I mean, it was bad. And this is not a preacher story. It was bad. This is how bad it was. One of these three pastors in the back seat, local pastors, he had had enough and he upchucked. Well, there was nowhere for his upchuck to go. And so that whole back row was covered. And my problem, I'm clean, but I'm gagging because of the smell. So I'm like, oh, Jesus, now would be a good time for you to come back. It is awful. I'm like, Mr. George, I don't want upchuck over all of your material, your instruments. Can I crack this little window here? He says, if you're going to throw up, yes, please crack the window. I mean, it's bad. I couldn't text. We didn't have phone. I was going to text her and say, if we never meet again this side of heaven. We're flying. We're closer to Memphis. And I look over at Mr. George. They're worried about the mess, all three of them. I mean, they're concerned with cleaning up and comforting the one dude who is white as a sheet. I look over at Mr. George. So we gonna make it? Eyes out there, but answer me straight. We gonna be all right? He said, we're gonna be good. So, Mr. George, you've been through worse than this. He's a whole lot worse. He said, just trust me. We're gonna be all right. We landed in Memphis. Mr. George didn't so. The other four of us, we kissed the ground when we got into Memphis, Tennessee. Listen, because one guy studied the manual, knew the instrument, knew how to get through rough, raging storms. All four of us benefited. I don't know what storm's coming. You know how we're going to make it? Therefore, my beloved, cleanse yourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Because we have those precious promises that go with it, holiness. So the invitation is this. If God comes one-on-one to you today, what's number one? What's number two? He says, gotta go. Today, say, Lord, I'm giving it to you. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. One-on-one with God Almighty. What's number one? What's number two in your life? No arguing. No justifying. All, A-L-L, filthiness. Lay it down at the feet of Jesus. Walk away. Forgive me, Jesus. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you got to confess it. You got to forsake it. Number one, number two, what is it? You got it? You ready to confess right where you are? Say, Pastor, I got them. There's some stuff I need to get out of my life. And today, I'm confessing and I'm forsaking. That's you. One and two. I got them, Pastor. My hand is raised up here. How about you? You got one and two? Come on, raise your hand. You got one and two? Come on. Am I talking to perfect people? Let me see some hands. confess them right there. Maybe it's responses to kids. Maybe it's responses to spouses. Maybe you know what it is. Let God tell you. Father, we thank you for the testimony that we have in your word that tells us how we can be close, know your protection, know your favor, know your blessing upon our lives. It's perfecting holiness in reverence, in awe, in respect of you. If you're here and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, let today be your day of salvation. It's realizing that you don't have a relationship with God and you say, God, I know I'm a sinner, but I believe you died on the cross, not just for somebody, you died for me. Forgive me of my sin. Today at Beulah, I believe in your death, your burial, your resurrection, and I'm going to follow you to the day I die. Never done it today. Let today be your day of salvation. Holy Spirit, you draw, you convict, you encourage, you challenge. Daddies to be godly daddies. Mamas to walk with you and to cleanse themselves. Students, children, singles, senior adults. Help us all to be consumed, not so much with our hobbies, but with perfecting holiness in reverence for you. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Just sing that chorus with Britton, that little chorus, and then Matt's going to come.